precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Hezbollah calls for global attacks. The leader of the Lebanese Muslim group Hezbollah is urging a global suicide bombing campaign. How about that? They're no friend to Israel. Two recent speeches by the Lebanon-based Hezbollah leader, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, have raised the specter of attacks outside the region by a powerful and well-organized military force. The Sheikh had said, by Allah, if they touch Al-Aqsa, we will act everywhere around the world. And he told this to an estimated 10,000 gun-toting bearded fighters in southern Lebanon. Several hundred suicide commandos also took part. Al-Aqsa refers to the mosque in Jerusalem that, although under Israeli military control, is in practice administered by Palestinian Muslim authorities. The site is a flashpoint for tension and outbreaks of violence. At a rally in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, the Sheikh issued a far more ominous threat. He said, martyrdom, operations, and suicide bombings should be exported outside Palestine. And he went on to say, I encourage Palestinians to take suicide bombings worldwide. Don't be shy about it, the Sheikh said. Well, what about that? These are the enemies of Israel. These are the enemies of God. These are the enemies of righteousness that talk like this. But so it is in the Middle East. That quoted from the Washington Post, another item on the Israel conflict. Struggle with Israel is part of struggle with the West. Now, if you want to know what the Hamas spiritual leader is teaching his people, Sheikh Ahmad Hassin publicly expressed his view in the Australian Islamic newspaper Nida al-Islam, that the struggle with Israel is only a part of a larger struggle that includes the entire, listen to this, Western world as headed up by the United States. There they go again, blaming the United States for everything. Asin says that he does not see the jihad as only a means to the liberation of Palestine, but also as part of the Islamic movement's legitimate struggle against the West. Asin endorses posing a threat to Western interests in Arab and Muslim countries, thereby realizing the people's right to self-defense or jihad. This, he claims, is necessary in the face of what he calls the United States' support for imperialism and their crusade against Islam. He also said Muslims must prepare themselves for a long battle because this century is the century of Islam, its ability and its victory, and that jihad is a religious must, its purpose being to impose the Islamic faith on the whole world and to liberate it from the rule of America and its allies, according to the IMRA. Well, this demonstrates the real motivation of the Hamas. And like all the old-timers said, even in Israel, you cannot deal with terrorists. This only proves their point. Now, interestingly enough, the U.S. defies a U.N. anti-Israel vote. For the first time ever, the United States voted against a U.N. decision calling on Israel to repeal the Jerusalem law. In previous years, the U.S. had abstained when the issue had been raised. A total of 154 countries voted in favor of the decision, with Israel, the U.S., Micronesia, the Marshall Islands, and Costa Rica voting against. So now you know who's on Israel's side. You know who the real friends of Israel in all the world, the ones who did not vote against this to repeal the Jerusalem law was obviously Israel, because they want it. The United States, Micronesia, the Marshall Islands, and Costa Rica. And they voted against the efforts of the UN to repeal the Jerusalem law. And I've said this many times, the Bible says that one day all the nations of the world will gather against Jerusalem. And so we see here, even in this UN vote, 154 countries had voted in favor of the decision to repeal the Jerusalem law. Now, what is the Jerusalem law? Well, the Jerusalem law says Jerusalem is the undivided capital of Israel and allows for the annexation of East Jerusalem, captured in the 1967 war, into Israel. Well, I don't agree with that part. I do agree that it is the undivided capital of Israel, but I don't agree it should be annexed to nobody. That whole city belongs to the Jews. And the UN still views the 1947 partition plan that called for Jerusalem to be an international city as valid. So you can't trust the UN. Despite the U.S. gesture, the General Assembly also approved by lopsided margins five other resolutions aimed at promoting Palestinian rights and pressuring Israel to withdraw from Palestinian territories, reported in the Jerusalem Post. Now, on an encouraging note, the U.S. ambassador to Israel had lashed out at the Palestinians, accusing academics, intellectuals, and political leaders of encouraging terrorism. He said suicide bombings have begun to consume Palestinian society, calling into question their legitimate political aspirations. So said Ambassador Dan Kurtzer. But on a negative note, he again had reiterated the same rhetoric that we hear around the world, and this is an unscriptural comment that is made against the nation of Israel, the apple of God's eye. They still, as he says, has criticized the Jewish settlements, saying they do not represent the national consensus in Israel. Well, I do not agree with that. No offense to the Russian immigrants that have come into Israel the last 5-10 years, but it is my understanding that many of the immigrants coming from around the world, especially from Russia, did not fight in the 1967 war, did not fight in the Sinai campaign, did not fight in 1948 in the year that Israel became independent nation once again in the eyes of the world. They do not know the struggles of the survival of this country called Israel. And I'm not saying all of them are like that, but this is an understanding that is becoming more and more apparent in Israel, in the political realm of Israel. In fact, Russians make up almost 1 million of the population of the nation of Israel. When you're looking at about 5 million or more Israelis, that's quite a strong political power. Now, if you take it from their point of view, I guess you can understand where they're coming from. They want peace at all costs. I mean, they've been living under communism for years. They're sick and tired of conflict. And for them to give up, what they consider a little piece of land for peace it's a no-brainer. But there have been many Israelis, there's been thousands, I believe there was over 2,000, gave their lives in the Yom Kippur War in order to salvage the land that God promised Israel. And whether they like it or not, they have no right to give the land into the hands of anybody. That land doesn't belong to anybody but the Jews. This has been promised by the Bible and God's Word, by God and God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. And the land belongs to the Jews. Anybody that reads the Bible knows that to be very, very true. Now, along these lines, there are some questions we need to ask people who constantly want to make this an issue. The issue is that they believe that there is such a thing as a Palestinian state. In fact, that's all we hear, it seems, from the Palestinians. They're claiming they have already a state, and they just want it to be legitimized in the eyes of the world. So, why don't you consider this? If you are so sure that Palestine, the country, goes back through most of the recorded history, I expect you to be able to answer a few basic questions about that country of Palestine. When was it founded and by whom? What were its borders? What was its capital? What were its major cities? What constituted the basis of its economy? What was its form of government? Can you name at least one Palestinian leader before Arafat? Was Palestine ever recognized by a country whose existence at that time or now leaves no room for interpretation? What was the language of the country of Palestine? What was the prevalent religion of the country of Palestine? What was the name of its currency? Choose any date in history and tell what was the approximate exchange rate of the Palestinian monetary unit against the U.S. dollar, German mark, or British pound, Japanese yen, or Chinese yuan on that date. And then finally, since there is no such country today, what caused its demise and when did it occur? And here is the least sarcastic question of all. If the people that are mistakenly called Palestinians are anything but generic Arabs collected from all over or thrown out of the Arab world, if they really have a genuine ethnic identity that gives them right for self-determination, why did they never try to become independent until Arabs suffered their devastating defeat in the Six-Day War? Now, can you answer those questions? And if you can, then I guess there is such a thing as a Palestinian country, but there is not, and you will not be able to answer those questions because there never was a Palestinian language. There never was a leader before Arafat that represented the Palestinians, and so on and so forth. Since we're talking about the land of Israel, consider that in 1948, this is a great fulfillment of prophecy. It appears that a lot happened in 1948 when Israel became a state in the eyes of the world. And when you consider what happened in that year, you can see how Israel is such a pivotal time reference in prophecy. So in 1948, May the 14th, Israel once again became a legitimate sanctioned state in the world's eyes. Of course, they've always been considered a country, a people, a language since the beginning of Abraham, and there is quite a long history of the Jews recorded in the Bible. But in 1948, the Benelux Treaty was signed, pointing to the establishment of modern Europe, today's European Union, and the revived Roman Empire. The transistor was invented, opening the doors for the commercial television boom and the computer age, which undoubtedly will lead to the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 18 talks about that mark of the beast. And we see technological advances in ways that could definitely provide the means of such a mark or the ability to have such a mark. The U.S. Supreme Court began a prayer ban in the public schools. The United Nations voted to accept a Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The World Trade Organization's parent body was formed. Major killer diseases forced the scientific and medical communities to develop new antibiotics. British Burma declared independence, setting in motion the fall of the British Empire, which I have alluded before that this was because they were reaping what they have sown. They had gone against the establishment of the State of Israel, and they caused a lot of the problems. Most of the Jews who were exterminated in the concentration camps as a result of their unwillingness, the British Empire's unwillingness to let them immigrate to what was called Palestine at the time. And of course, the Balfour Declaration was an instrument of God. They could have gotten the blessing that God intended for Britain, but after Balfour Declaration was signed years later, they had gone against the spirit and the intent of that declaration, which promised the land back to the Jews. South Africa officially launched its doomed policy of racial apartheid. Yugoslavia was released from Russian rule due to ethnic fighting. Korea and Vietnam were split into North and South, one signaling the end of war, the other ensuring that war would eventually occur. The World Bank was born. Three major television networks were developed. The Berlin Airlift began, launching the Cold War. Each of these events is strongly related to Bible prophecy. Following the amazing array of events in 1948, the world seemed to rush toward the future. With the advent of faster cars, speedier air travel, and the development of the Internet, all making our world into a global community, knowledge increased at a doubling rate, doubling every 22 months. This information highway is seen as a fulfillment to that prophecy in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. This is almost incredible. Knowledge surely has increased. Yet, with the rise of these amazing developments, we today draw closer to the Antichrist and the return of the Christ. Our society today is presently ready for the Antichrist power grab and total takeover. The three pillars of the Antichrist system are a global government, a global religion, and a global economy. Each one set in motion in the prophetically momentous year of 1948. All three exist in a growing capacity today because of what was set in motion with the birth of Israel in 1948. If you're listening to this broadcast for the first time, many are, thousands are listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast all around the world, and many are listening to my voice in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and other countries, especially in Israel. And I want you to realize that I have no hatred or animosity against the Arabs or those who claim to be Palestinians today. In fact, I know the Bible has a plan for these nations if they would come and worship the true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God did promise that they would have their own land. I don't know, they just don't realize that they're fighting against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who promised them land, but it wasn't there. It's not where they're fighting over. The Palestinians all basically come from other Arab countries. And if you look at Saudi Arabia, most of that whole region is not even populated. Why, they could cut out a pretty large patch of land for those people, and they could live there. You see, one day God says in the Holy Scriptures, and he inspired the prophet Joel, that one day he's going to gather all these nations and he's going to judge them. So if you think you're going to conquer Israel and dominate that whole region, you better watch out, because the Bible's true. God says that I will also gather all nations in Joel chapter 3 verse 2, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if he recompense me, Swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. So, God is on the side of Israel. If you are living in any of these Middle Eastern countries and you hate Israel and you hate the Jew, I fear for you because God's judgment is upon you. I believe that many Arabs who are listening to the sound of my voice want to know what's right. They're tired of being sold a bill of goods. They're tired of being lied to and deceived by corrupt leaders who only care for their own pocketbooks. And I'm saying to you that there is truth. And God said, Jesus said, the Messiah for the Jews and the Gentiles, he said that his word is truth. You can believe in the truth. And if you put your trust in the Holy Scriptures, they will lead you to the way of righteousness. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So folks, I earnestly petition you to consider the events happening today all around the world. It is up to you to make the decision of the claims of the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. Now, don't turn your dial. We have more good information and broadcasting coming your way. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Fried. I'm so thankful that you have stayed with us for the last half hour of this broadcast, and you're in for a treat. We continue to consider the great question, who is a Jew? Who knows whether they are a Jew or not? Of course, that's always been the nagging question and is being debated throughout the world, especially in the land of Israel today. The Orthodox, the ultra-Orthodox think that the Orthodox do not qualify, and the Orthodox think that the conservative do not qualify, and the conservative think that the Reform do not qualify, and the Reform think that the Reconstructionist Jew do not qualify to be really a Jew in the spiritual sense. And sadly to say, all those groups, the major denominations of Judaism today, think that if you believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, that you are definitely not a Jew. So we're going to look at that, and I continue to consider some Hebrew believers in Yeshua who have written extensively about this subject, and I will make a commentary as I go along the way. This is a very important question. You were born and raised a Jew. Many who are listening, their daddy is a Jew. Their mothers are not a Jew. Some, their mothers are Jews and their fathers are not Jews. And there's even confusion on what makes you a Jew according to that. Never mind the spiritual realm of being a Jew. What about the physical realm? What makes you a Jew? Well, right off the bat, I'm going to just say that physically you are a Jew because you are of the seed of Abraham. If your daddy was a full-blooded Jew, then you are a full-blooded Jew. If your grandfather was a full-blooded Jew, then that's from your father's side I'm talking, then you're a full-blooded Jew. If your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather from your father's side was a full-blooded Jew, then you are a full-blooded Jew. The bloodline has always been passed down through the father. It's always been that case. It's in that teaching of the scriptures regarding that the seed comes through the man and not the woman. So this is the Bible truth. Now today, largely among the Jews of today, your mother would have to be a full-blooded Jew in order to classify you as a full-blooded Jew. Physically, now we're talking about the physical side realm of being a Jew. But biblically, this is not true. It is more important that your father be a full-blooded Jew. And this can be seen very clearly in the life of Moses, who married not according to the descendants of his forefathers, and therefore we see it in the case of Moses. But the reality is, the reason why they want the mother to be a full-blooded Jew in order to make sure you are a full-blooded Jew is they always say it has to do with the fact that you only have one mother. You could have many fathers. Well, you might have stepfathers, but you can only have one real father as well as one real mother. But God has ordained that it's through the father. In fact, it's a medical fact that the chromosomes of the father ultimately make up the blood in the baby, and that the blood of the mother is that which nourishes the baby in the womb and is not connected with the blood of the baby. And this is a medical fact. So we'll get more into that as we consider the great question of today. Who is a Jew? How do you know you are a real Jew? They're stating today that over 50% of Jewish families are made of Jew and Gentile. Assimilation is a great danger to the Jewish race. And so who is a Jew? Are you really a Jew? You said you were a Jew, but are you a Jew physically? And more importantly, are you a Jew spiritually? Now, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. And again, the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. We find the Lord making the following accusation against the people of Israel in the days of Jeremiah. Now, I am reading from this booklet, a very old booklet written by a Hebrew believer, A.B. Macklin. He continues to say, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Again, we find these words by the mouth of the same prophet. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. From these scriptures, we can see that the Lord clearly makes no difference between the uncircumcised heathen and the Jews who are circumcised only in the flesh. He demands circumcision of the ear and the heart. Have you met these conditions? Are you circumcised God's way? Now, as we consider the ancestry as proof, but you no doubt will tell me that you have another reason why you believe you are a Hebrew, even if you have not fulfilled the first one altogether. And this second reason is because you are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You say your father was a Hebrew. His father was a Hebrew. All your ancestors were Hebrews from way back to the days of Father Abraham. For is it not written that Abraham was the first Hebrew? And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew. This is Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. Yes, that is very true. no doubt you believe that you are a descendant of Abraham, and Abraham was the first Hebrew. But you must remember that simply to assert your belief in your parentage does not prove that you are a true Hebrew in the sense that God considers it. For be it remembered that Abraham received a call from God, not to do as his fathers did, but to do just the very opposite from what they did. For we read, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. We see that the descendants of the ancestry, rather, of Abraham was not very godly ancestry. They came out of Ur of the Chaldees. They were wicked, and they served heathen gods. That's right. Are you following God as did Abraham? Now, the difference between Abraham and his fathers was that they followed other gods, and he was called to follow the true God. Then you can readily see that mere descent from Abraham does not make you a true Hebrew in God's sight. The main question in this regard is, are you following God as did your father Abraham? Or are you following strange gods? Are you doing as Abraham did, or are you doing as some man or set of men may dictate to you? Are you implicitly obeying the voice of the Lord? Are you heeding the teachings, traditions, and maxims of the wise men or rabbis? If you do the latter, then you are doing differently from what Abraham did. And surely you cannot then consider yourself a real Hebrew, as was Abraham. God chose Abraham because he obeyed his voice, and therefore Abraham became a different man from other people. I believe in one God, you say, but still you insist that you are a Hebrew anyway. And the one great reason you have is that you believe in the one God, the God of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in all the scriptures. Yes, you say, I still believe in the prophets of God and in the prophecies of God's word. You say you have strong proof that you are a Hebrew because you believe in the one God, the God of the Bible, in the prophets and in the prophecies. Well, let us turn to the Tanakh, the Holy Scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." The word for God is Elohim, and literally means it is God's. We see further that the word Elohim is plural in form, but it is joined to a singular verb, bara. He created, not they created. Only when referring to heathen deities is it joined with a plural verb. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we find, "And Elohim," and God, plural, "said the Yomer," singular, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, commonly part of the Shema, we read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, this text would read, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah." The Zohar writing of this verse says that it teaches a triune Godhead. That's right. The name of God occurring three times. Now, if you're familiar, you ought to know, if you're familiar with Judaism at all, that the Zohar is one of the most famous writings of the sages, of the rabbis. And they say that it teaches a triune Godhead, the name of God occurring three times. Well, is it true? Well, the word one, used here is the Hebrew word echad, a compound word coming from the word yachid, to unite, as used in Numbers chapter 13, verse 23, the bunch or cluster of grapes, one cluster. Again in Judges chapter 20, verse 1, 8 and 11, congregation gathered as one man, all the people as one man, all the men of Israel knit together as one man. Always the Hebrew word is echad. The word yachid is the word meaning one in the absolute sense. It occurs about 12 times in all in the Old Testament, but never once to express the unity of God. It is used in Genesis chapter 22, verses 2, 12, and 16. Yachid ha, thine only one. In other passages, such as Genesis or Bereshit, chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, we notice the same thing. And the evening and morning were the first day. Here the word first comes from the Hebrew word echad. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be, here it is, they shall be one flesh, echad. V'hayo levasar echad. We have also a very fine illustration in the Bible of the thought of a single person when only one individual is intended. This is the case of Isaac, Abraham's son. The Lord said unto Abraham, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, et bencha, et yachidcha, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. So, thine only son, coming from the Hebrew word yachid, which means absolutely one. This obviously is different than the word echad, which originated or comes from the Hebrew word yachad. Here we see that the word yachid is used and not echad in Genesis chapter 22. So you can see the Lord does make a difference. Now, if you really believe in one God, do you then believe they are two united as one? Do you believe, as the Bible says, that God is echad and not yachid? If you do, then you must believe that in God there is a plurality, a Godhead, and that there is someone else as part of the Godhead. Not that it means there are two gods or three gods or four, as the Jews generally think when we speak of Jesus, Yeshua, as the Son of God, the Messiah, but God and the Messiah constitute the one God. So when Jesus, Yeshua, was here in the world, he beautifully expressed the thought that every true Hebrew claims to believe, that there is only one God, El Echad, when he said, I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30, in Berit Chadashah, New Covenant. We believe that there is only one God, and Jesus taught the very same thing. That's right. I believe in the prophets. You also stated that as one of your strong proofs that you are a Hebrew, your belief in the prophets and in the prophecies. If this last but not least proof can be supported by you, then you still have an opportunity to redeem yourself. But if not, then it is evident that you really have no argument from the Word of God to prove that you are a Hebrew according to the standard of the Word of God. And you know we are told to the law and to the testimony, if They speak not according to this word. There is no light there. It is because there is no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Well, this is about all the time that we have right now. And I want to just thank each one of you who have listened to our broadcast. And I want you to stay with us for just a few more minutes, because we'll have some announcements and a free offer that you really want to consider. We're thankful that the broadcast reaches tens of thousands of people throughout the whole wide world. If you are a Jewish person, you've listened to this about who is a Jew. I hope that you have sincerely considered what the Bible has to say about this great question. If I was brought up and raised in Judaism, I would really want to know what constitutes, what really makes me a Jew. Do you know how you can prove whether or not you are a Jew? Search the scriptures, and they will testify of the truth.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question. his prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.